and can't get fooled again.
Welcome in to David L. Gray, Off Code and Unscripted. So I'm here tonight because I just had to share this video with you and to to watch it with you. This is just utterly phenomenal. Just utterly phenomenal, man. And it just goes along with what I one of the things I often say, man, just about the trajectory of things is that there's free people and there's people in slavery. Those are the only two people that there are in the world, right? So those who are free are those who are truly in Christ, and those who are slaves to Satan, the prince of this world. And the systems of this world are always inclined towards slavery. They're inclined towards slavery. That's the trajectory of the systems of this world, to trap us and to enslave us into all of his devices. Now, those things that are not grounded in the truth, namely, aren't in Christ and his church, the only organization, the only body, the only entity on this entire earth that Jesus Christ said the gates of hell will not prevail against, is this Catholic Church. That's the only surety and promise that we have. Everything else is open. Everything else is open to being taken over by Satan. So when we find a man-made religion, such as Protestantism, or we even find Catholic churches that have turned Protestants, such as, I don't know, Father Flager Church in his Chicago, St. Bina, something like that. When we see institutions like this, we find that they're on a trajectory towards enslavement. One of the signs of that is when your organization has become so trapped, so engulfed, so bought and paid for by the government that you begin worshiping government. So that's what we have a lot today. We see a lot of religious organizations in this climate of secularism and this post-truth society that we're living in. We find that a lot of these so-called churches outside of the Church of Christ have become institutions of secular worship. Basically, they worship the government and they lead their congregations into that system of slavery, of this pseudo-religion of government worship and these sacraments of the government, such as abortion and whatever it is, right? The sacrament of the ballot booth, leading people to act as if though them going to the ballot booth will somehow change their life, right? Somehow make their life better, right? It's a sacrament. It's a false sacrament. So I want to get into this video with Ketanji Brown Jackson. What are these Protestants worshiping her now? In one church, it even looks like it may be a Catholic church, worshiping Ketanji Brown Jackson, the woman who's confirmed for a Supreme Court seat. So, but as you know how we do on Off Code and Unscripted David L. Gray, first, let's get into the sponsors, then I'll play a commercial, and then we'll come back, we'll get into the video. So this video is being sponsored by Aura, who's a new standard in digital security. Go to aura.com/David Gray, starts your free trial. That's aura.com/David Gray, starts your free trial. It's the best place you want to get into something to protect yourself. I'm out here in this dangerous world with people stealing your identity, opening a bank account in your name, doing all types of strange things. It's happened to me. It's most likely to happen to you or someone you know. So protect yourself. So that's aura.com. And also, this video is being sponsored by you, my patrons, whose names are scrolling below. Hop over to davidlgray.info, davidlgray.info, my website, or to patreon.com, look me up, David L. Gray. Become a patron, become a supporter, subscriber of this apostolate, what I'm doing, and I appreciate it. And I'm also appreciate all your likes, all your shares, everything that you guys do to keep me around. I enjoy all your letters, all your messages, but I think that's it for now. So let's get into the commercial, and then right after the commercial, we will come back and watch this video. Aura is a digital security solution that protects your identity online accounts, devices, with one simple subscription. You'll get alerts of fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked online, or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name or social security number. Aura will also protect your devices from malware and encrypt your Wi-Fi connection so you can shop, bank, and stream online securely. With an easy online dashboard and alerts sent straight to your phone, Aura keeps you in control and guides you through solving any issues. All plans come with a $1 million in identity theft insurance to help you recover eligible losses and experience U.S.-based customer support that got your back.
Insurance to help you recover
eligible. Yeah, so hop over to Aura. Check that out. That's Aura.com/David Gray. That's Aura.com/David Gray. So this first video, so you're going to see a series of videos here. It's like three or four of these Protestants. And I think one is the Catholic Church worshiping Ketanji Brown. So, but for this first one, I have to preface this very first one. So you've heard me in the past talk about something called community assignment. Community assignment is something that happens in liberal Black communities, that no matter at which time you're born, as a Black person, you're assigned certain stories that you have to incorporate into your own personal story. So in the body of things that you're assigned in this community assignment, you're assigned two things. You're assigned one, historical grievances that you have to hold as your own grievances. And two, you're assigned historical jubilance, things that you should have joy about and jubilance about that are not part of your own personal story, but you're taught to bring it into your own personal story that you attach it to you. So there's grievances that you attach and a jubilation you attach. Let me give you a couple examples. So, for example, an historical grievance in the community assignment is something like slavery. That's an easy one. You were never a slave. You don't know anyone who was a slave. You don't even know anyone who knew anyone who knew anyone who was a slave. But you're taught that you being a Black person, you have to, you're assigned slavery. It becomes part of your own personal story. That's why as a Black person, you're able to talk in the language of we. We were in slavery. You're personally affected by slavery. Slavery affects me in this way. You can do this because you belong to a community that has these community assignments in which that historical grievance is attached to you. So even though you may be 30 years old, actually you're about 400 years old because you are personally still affected by slavery. That's a historical grievance assigned to you. Another historical grievance, for example, would be something like the Tulsa Massacre. You're not a Tulsa. You've never been to Oklahoma. You don't know anyone in your family, anyone whatsoever that was killed in the Tulsa Massacre. But because it happened to people who look like you, who shares your same skin color, who you're taught that is part of your story. It's your part of your own personal story. And so you're able to speak in a language of saying, we were killed. They did this to us, right? So in a community assignment in the Black communities, that's what's called historical agreements. Now, also you have historical jubilation. So good things that happen to Black people are also assigned to you, to your own personal story that you're able to have joy about. Easy example, one is the election of Barack Obama. He was half Black. So therefore, because he sort of looked like you, and because he was the first so-called Black president, you can take joy in that. That's something that was assigned to you to take joy in. You can be proud about that. Oh, when we became president, we had our own president. You could speak like that. Now, in that body of historical jubilation, of which there's not really much because the historical grievance is much more important in the Black community, because the historical grievance is what keeps people victims and keep them tied to the system of grievance and needing a savior. Okay. So, but there are some points of historic jubilation. One of them now that we're finding now is this Ketanji Brown Jackson, that her being confirmed a Supreme Court justice is now part of the Black community, is now part of the body of community assignment in a Black community, this historical point of jubilation, that Ketanji Brown becomes the first Black woman confirmed to the Supreme Court is something that is part of something you can be proud and happy about. And that's the preface to what you're about to hear. So having heard that, let's jump in. Let's jump into this video.
On the platform for everyone to see. They crucified, belittled, berated, humiliated, and insulted a Black woman who was nominated for justice on the highest court of the land.
Now notice, now you remember what happened to Supreme Court justices like the last one. Oh man, what's his name? Somebody tell me his name. So he's accused of all types of things, right? He's treated horribly, right? Neil Gorsuch and the one that came after him, just treated horribly, right? But we don't have to even worry about that. That's not even on the register. What was really important now, who's treated really quite nicely compared to those other people, even Clarence Thomas, these people treated quite nicely. This person, this Ketanji Brown, treated, not lied about, not accused of anything crazy, just given a couple tough questions, but she's treated horribly just because she was asked, do you know what a biological woman is? That's the historical point of jubilation. Notice how he says that every Black woman should now have a sway in her hip because of Ketanji Brown Jackson. That's what he's doing. He is now assigning, he's given a community assignment of this historical point of jubilation to every Black woman. That's what's going on here. You're watching this in real time, how historical grievances and jubilations are assigned. It happens in the church most of the time. Keep watching.
Shoulders, because this sister, she never bowed. She never wilted. She held out her poise. She was cool. She was calm. She was collected. I could hear her saying, "Still, I rise."
So yeah, part of historical grievance and part of the historical jubilation is you always have to see Negro spirituals assigned to them, right? Swing low, sweet chariot. And also you have to speak in just broken English like this guy's doing, using words like ain't and got no. You know, you have to speak like an old Negro, like back when Black people didn't know how to use English very well, I guess, right? That's how you have to speak. This is the historical grievance. That's why this is typically happens in Black Protestant churches where English is always broken.
Her demeanor was exquisite. Her grace was under pressure personified. Say her name. Ketanji.
Now he's saying her name. So what he's doing right now by say her name, he's participating in the whole Black Lives Matter thing of saying the names of people, like say Trayvon Martin, say Mike Brown, right? Say their name. That's part of that thing. But also he's doing something very demonic here. So he's in this sort of church and he's calling people to say a name as if though her name was greater than the name of Jesus Christ. Like there's something salvific in her name, right? Like her name has power. Notice that he's doing this in a church, which is just flatly demonic. This man is evil. He's worldly, he's secular.
Ketanji Brown Jackson, say her name. I don't hear nobody. She belongs to us. When I looked at her, I saw my sister.
Again, this is more part of the community assignment. Notice that when I saw her, I saw my sister. I saw this other person. So he's exciting this. This is, I can't believe this is happening in real time. You're getting to see it. This is crazy. So if you ever wonder why is it that Black Americans think they're 400 years old and they think they just got out of slavery yesterday, or they think that every bad thing that happened to Black people happens to them, it's because of this type of thing that happens in a Black Protestant church and in some other places. This community assignment of the historical points of grievance and jubilation. His mother and his grandmother's dreams.
Can I just say this? I ain't bothered nobody.
I ain't bothered nobody. It's always the broken English, right?
But you didn't have to get close up on her to notice she was Black either.
And the people who are accuse others of racism stir up more racism just in their very language like this. So now he's about to go to this whole thing and talking about he's about to make these straw man arguments that nobody was even thinking about. And Ketanji Brown Jackson, we don't even know if she even identifies as Black. She's married to a white man. So we know, so she doesn't have any sort of any concerns in herself, whatever, that she has to be this Black person married to a Black person. So we don't even know, right? And so, but that goes the case with most Black women that we see in power. They aren't married to Black men, right? But again, the acceptable Black woman for white liberals are Black women who are married to white men. We should be honest about that. The acceptable Black woman is not married to a Black man. Rather, she's anti-Black man, typically. Which is a ridiculous point that you always hear from the Black liberal, that for white people to accept a Black person, that they have to be as light skinned as possible, right? And there is some historical merit about, you know, the darker a person is, you know, they're perceived as a threat or something like that. But the thing is this. If a person is a racist, they're a racist. They don't care how light the Black person is. They could be as white as someone like Venerable Henriette Delisle, who could pass as white like her brother did, but still was treated accordingly to how she identified as Black. So it doesn't matter how light a Black person is, or any person, Indian, Asian, Chinese, Japanese. It does. If a person is a racist, they're a racist. It, skin tone doesn't matter at all.
They Joe Biden, I got to give him credit. He didn't even make her get a perm. Y'all ain't got to say nothing.
And he's here giving Joe Biden credit, but Joe Biden filibustered the first Black woman who could have been Supreme Court Justice, Janice Brown. So he's giving Joe Biden credit for Ketanji Brown Jackson.
He could have told it. Now you got this is the first time I've done this. Now if you really want to go through with your dream, you're gonna have to go to the beautician and get you a perm. Sister girl came on in there with her African name, her African color, and her African hair.
But her husband, who's not African, he was there too.
I couldn't help but think of Jesus.
All right, so this is the second video. So I don't know who this guy is, but these next two videos, next two or three videos you're going to watch is people, again, more Protestant worship or liberal Christian worship of Ketanji Brown Jackson and a bunch of comparing her to Jesus and to people in the Bible.
Last week, as I watched the Senate confirmation hearings with Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Now, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to, but particularly also to watch some of the proceedings. And while some of the senators...
Hold on, I don't know what's going on here. Give me a moment here. Let me refresh this. I don't know why this always happens when I'm trying to show you guys videos. It's always like this
other senators. This,
okay, here we go.
Literally asking questions to try to trap her.
All right.
And I don't know if you saw her responses, but I loved how she would pause, breathe deeply, put on the half smile that we've been taught to put on, and then respond. And so I figure that whatever she was thinking of during those moments is what Jesus was writing on the ground.
And they kept asking her, why?
Whatever she was thinking of in that moment is what Jesus was writing on the ground. I don't know what this church is. It looks maybe Catholic. It does have a crucifix. Maybe Anglican. It looks more English to me. But we have, in Mass Nightmares, we have seen Catholic churches set up like this. But here they go.
Jesus was writing on the ground.
And they kept asking her, why did you only give him 3 months in jail for his crime? Why did you do that? So she explained that the way the court makes its decision about sentencing is it depends on other people besides herself. She has to depend upon, for example, the parole officer and other committees, and they sit together for weeks and they go over the situation to see who this person is and what other crimes did they commit in the past, etc., etc. And what happened was she said that looking at this situation with this 18-year-old and discussing it for weeks with groups of other people, I came to the decision that this was the best sentence for him. They disapproved. So we do still live in a time where, of course, we have to interpret the law. But what she said was, I have to take into consideration many factors when I make a sentence. Sometimes I follow the recommendations of 3 years to 20 years. She said, sometimes I go below and sometimes I go above. But she said, in this particular case, I decided to give the lesser sentence. An interpretation of the law based upon the factors of the person involved. So here we see Jesus making this decision about this woman and saying to them, if you have not sinned, throw the first stone at her.
I meant to say this Sunday when I preached about the woman caught in the act.
So you can't ask Ketanji Brown Jackson any tough questions whatsoever. Even not tough, like when does life begin in the womb? I don't know, right? Or what's the definition of a woman? I don't know. You can't ask her any of those questions. Otherwise, you're accused of throwing a stone, right? So, and then there's this guy. He's a last one to offer us due and fitting worship to Ketanji Brown Jackson.
I meant to say this Sunday when I preached about the woman caught in the act of adultery, and I thought it was important to deal with that, particularly as we looked at what was happening on Capitol Hill with Judge Brown Jackson being drilled by the Senate, how they treated her. And how it was that Senator Booker came to her rescue and spoke and reminded her and empowered her and inspired her to stay the course, because what you're doing, you have a greater purpose beyond this moment, and God is all in this. I thought about the woman who was treated so terribly by those people through her at Jesus' feet,
yeah,
and how Jesus, just as Cory Booker did, spoke life into her and said, "Where are your accusers? Is no one here to condemn you? Neither will I. Go your way."
So that's, so there you have it. There you have it. Ketanji Brown Jackson, the Church of Ketanji Brown Jackson. There you have it, boys and girls. Welcome to the new real world, where we've gotten to a point where religion in churches, different types of flavors of Protestantism, have become so secular, have become so in lockstep with the systems of the world, and have become so tied into in a part of the new pseudo religion, which is called government worship and depending on the government for everything, depending on the governments for every aspect of your life, in treating the ballot booth some sort of sacrament that you go to just pray that your life will change, that you just, if you just put the right person in, your life will be better. Then this new pseudo religion called government has all these affiliated churches toting this case now, but only for the liberal causes. But this is the world that we live in. And it's a sad world, and you just really know where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? We're worshiping people now. And notice how all these Protestants that you watched, notice how they're right there in the center of the church, rather in the Catholic Church. You know, there's an altar there because this is about Jesus Christ. But all this human religion called Protestantism, where that's built on worshiping man, is now man directing people to worship government. And it's like, where do you go from here? I mean, this is a sad, sick world. It can only get worse from this point. We just need a complete purgation of this whole thing by Jesus Christ. So that's where we're at. Just a quick video for the night. I had a video this morning, had a regular episode, and thought I was going to be back on Monday. But for real now, unless something happens crazy in the next 18 hours, the next time you see me will be on Monday. So have a blessed weekend, a blessed Palm Sunday coming up, and a blessed Holy Week coming up as well. So, and I'll see you guys on the next time. God bless you. Thanks for coming in, and I'll see you soon. Hey there. Thanks for watching the video. Please like, subscribe, and share. And visit me at davidlgray.info to check out the Catholic theology courses I'm teaching there to adults and to homeschool students. But most of all, remember, to get to confession and get to Mass as often as possible, and to make your life a type of liturgy at a Mass. But until then, and until next time, blessings and shalom to you and to yours.